I'd like to read in Acts chapter 24, Acts 24 and verse 24. Acts 24 and verse 24. It's on page 1340 in my Bible. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. And after certain days, Felix, having arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned concerning righteousness and temperance and the judgment about to come, Felix, being filled with fear, answered, "Go for the present, and when I get an opportunity, I will send for thee," hoping at the same time that money would be given to him by Paul. Wherefore also he sent for him oftener and communed with him. But when 2 years were completed, Felix was relieved by Porcius Festus and his successor, and Felix, desirous to oblige the Jews to acquire their favour, left Paul bound. We probably know this passage reasonably well, and you can probably guess the sort of slant that I might be putting on the gospel tonight. I want to talk about not putting things off and making sure that you're certain now about your Saviour. You know, we like procrastinating. We like putting things off. When we wake up in the morning, the alarm clock goes off. The first thing that we usually do is press a button and we put it to sleep for another 5 minutes. When we finish having dinner, the first thing that I normally get told is go and do the washing up. Okay, and my usual response, of course, is yes, I'll go do it straight away. But sometimes I'll say, maybe in a little bit, maybe in 5 minutes. We like putting things off. It's human nature. Okay? But those things, they don't really affect anything. If we put the alarm clock to sleep for another 5 minutes, we'll be 5 minutes later to work. If I don't do the washing up straight away, I'll hear it for the rest of the evening. But other than that, it's not going to be too much of an issue. But the things I want to talk tonight about are things that will concern your eternal destiny. They're things that will go into eternity. Things that you cannot put off. Things that you must not put off. Things that concern your soul. And this man here, this man Felix, he was a classic case of somebody putting off the message of the gospel. Somebody who thought that the gospel didn't quite suit him at the moment. Somebody that thought that maybe later he'd get the opportunity. Maybe he was somebody that thought that at this present time, things were going pretty well for him. He didn't think he really needed a saviour in the Lord Jesus. Dear friend, is he anything like you tonight? Is this man Felix anything like you? Is his attitude anything like your attitude towards the gospel? You know, this man, he said in verse 24, it says, Felix, having arrived at Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. You know, it's a really advantageous position to hear the gospel. You know, this man here, he heard the glad tidings concerning faith in Christ. What a position that we're in tonight. What a position you're in tonight as coming under the sound of the gospel. There are men in the world today that still haven't had the truth of the gospel unfolded to them. But we all here, we have it week by week, the terms of the gospel set out, the way to salvation, set out what privilege it is to hear the gospel week by week. But it's also not just a privilege, but it's a responsibility. Because having heard the gospel, having heard the terms of the gospel, it is your responsibility to respond to that message. You know, that's the responsibility that we come into. Once you've heard it, you can't unhear the gospel. You've heard the terms, you've heard the message, now you have to respond. And this man here, you know, Felix, he heard the message from Paul. Paul was probably one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, bar the Lord Jesus himself. You know, the way that Paul would have set out his gospel here, the way that he would have clearly and easily and truthfully and honestly set out the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ, Felix was in such a great position. And dear friend, you know, I'm not the Apostle Paul by any stretch of the imagination, but the gospel hasn't changed and God still works the same. And dear friend, you are in such an advantageous position tonight of having heard the gospel and hearing the gospel tonight. And it's your responsibility tonight to respond to that message. You know, you're here tonight not because you thought that it was a good idea to come. Maybe you didn't want to come here tonight. But God wants you here tonight. God has made sure that you're here tonight, hearing this gospel. You know, the enemy might have come up with 101 other different things for you to think about. 101 different things and reasons that you shouldn't be here tonight. Too much coursework, too much essays, too many things going on. Busy day tomorrow, got to get an early night. But dear friend, God has made sure that you're here tonight to hear the glad tidings of the Lord Jesus Christ presented once more, so that you have another opportunity to put your faith and trust in him. Dear friend, it is your responsibility tonight to accept him as your Saviour if you haven't done so. God has given you another opportunity. He may not give you one next week. This could be your last opportunity. Make sure that you take it by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So, dear friends, Felix here, he was in a great position. He's heard the gospel. He's heard it from the Apostle Paul himself. The gospel of the glad tidings concerning the faith in Christ. What a position to come into. So what was his response? So Paul, he says, as he reasoned concerning righteousness and temperance and the judgment about to come, Felix being filled with fear. That was the response from Felix, he was filled with fear. So dear friend, you've heard the gospel. There's no getting away from that now. Now what's your response? Felix's response here was he became filled with fear because Paul had spoken about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. You know, we've all heard about God's righteousness. It's probably a good place to start in the gospel, the righteousness of God, his holiness. We've all heard these terms, how God is perfect that he can't look upon sin. I'm not telling anybody anything new here. How God is so against sin that he can't even have it in his presence. How that because we are sinners that we can't come into the presence of God. That he can't look on us as we are as sinners. We've all heard these things. You know, the fact that God is holy and the fact that God is righteous means that God cannot let any of us into his presence, or if you like, into heaven when we die. Because even one sin would, if God could overlook one sin, then he wouldn't be perfect and he wouldn't be holy. God has to condemn sin wherever he finds it because of his holiness. And I've said it many times before, but whenever I talk to people about this, they say, well, God surely is a God of love. And yes, God is a God of love, but that is one of his attributes. It's a fantastic attribute that he has. God is love himself. But he's also a holy God. He's also a righteous God. He's a God that cannot look upon sin, and as such, he must condemn sin. So us in our sinful state, as we are, we can't enter into his presence. God must judge sin. And by judging sin, that means that we must spend an eternity in a place that you don't often hear about anymore. Behind a gospel desk is the place called hell. A real place, spoken more about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus spoke about hell more than he did about heaven. It's a real place, and it's a real place that you will end up if you do not have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the stark terms of the gospel. And again, I'm not telling anybody anything new here. Hell is a real place, but dear friend, that is not God's object. He doesn't desire anybody to end up in hell. He doesn't desire anybody to come under eternal condemnation. So God's provided a way out. He's provided a Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the man that came down 2,000 years ago to this very earth, lived a perfect life, and he died on a cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago, and he shed his blood on that cross. And dear friends, the key point of the gospel is making that your own. As I say, we've heard these terms. We've heard about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that he died there, and the 3 hours God poured out all his wrath upon sin. He became sin himself, the Lord Jesus Christ did. Became sin himself, so that God could come out and bless all of us. That's the point. Different, as I said, it's nothing new, but have you made it your own? Are you sure that you've put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you look at the Lord Jesus hanging on that tree and say, he did that for me? His blood was shed for me. Are you sheltering under his blood? These are the questions that you need to answer that nobody else can answer for you. These are the questions that you need to answer. Are you saved? Looking on the Lord Jesus Christ, did he do it for you? Dear friend, do you believe he did it for you? That's the key point. Make it your own. Make it personal. Nobody else can answer these questions. So he spoke about righteousness, God's righteousness, about how he can't look upon a sinner. He spoke about temperance, and he spoke about the judgment to come. As I said, dear friend, there is a judgment coming. God will judge sin. You will stand before God at some point. It says it in the Bible. You will stand before God. What will you say if you stand before God in your sin? There is nothing to say, dear friend. But you can come and stand before God tonight and you can say, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything from you. I'm as sinful can be. I am completely undone. If you come before God tonight, you won't meet him as a judge, but you can meet him as a saviour God. Because at this very present time, God is still having his hands outstretched in grace, in mercy towards the sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ is still available. His death still holds true today. It will always hold true, but you can take opportunity of it tonight, dear friend. You can come under the blessing that God wants you to come under tonight. And dear friend, the key point really is that it's now, that it's not next week, as Felix thought that he could get away with. It's not next month. It's not when you're a little bit older. But the key point of the gospel, as you read about in Acts, is that it's now is the well-accepted time. There is an urgency to the gospel. You might think that you've heard countless preachers stand up here and say, oh, well, this could be your last opportunity. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could come back to claim all those that are his. You've probably heard hundreds of preachers, and week by week you think, well, it hasn't happened yet. You know, back in the New Testament day, there were those that said, where is the promise of his coming? Where's the proof that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return? That was 2,000 years ago. How much closer is it going to be now? 2,000 years closer. Could be any moment. Dear friend, if it came right now, would he take you? Are you sheltering under his blood? Are you sheltering under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. That's the question that you need to answer tonight. I can't make it any clearer than that. You must answer that question. You will answer that question whether you like it or not. You'll either answer it with a yes or a no. When you leave this room tonight and you think maybe, in the eyes of God you said no. You've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ for another week. There's no maybe in the gospel. There's no grey area in the gospel. There's no grey area in the whole of the Bible. It stands out and men don't like it today because it's so black and white. But dear friend, you're either sheltering under the blood or you're not. We heard about it, I think it was last week in the preaching. You know, the two sets, two classes of people. You're either saved or you're not. Dear friend, tonight you have the opportunity to make sure that you are by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at that Saviour. Realising that he died for you. Realising that he's risen again. And realising that he's risen and ascended and he's in heaven now. Is he your Saviour, dear friend? I can't make this any clearer and I'm trying to, but I can't. Is he your Saviour? I want to make sure that he is. Because, dear friend, this really could be your last opportunity. You walk out that door, you don't know what this week's going to bring. You know, life is so fragile as it is. Anything can happen, dear friend. But I know if I didn't make it to this time next week, I know that I would be in the presence of my Saviour. If the Lord Jesus Christ came this week, I know 100% because it's guaranteed, not by me, not because of anything I've done. It's guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and it's guaranteed by the pages of Scripture and the words in Scripture that I know the Lord Jesus would come for me. Will he come for you, dear friend? Have you sheltered under that blood? Is he your Saviour? So he spoke about righteousness and temperance and judgment, and Felix was filled with fear. He was filled with fear. Maybe, dear friend, when the preacher talks to you about you being a sinner and about the urgency, maybe you are worried. Maybe that is your reaction. Maybe you're thinking, well, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not right before God. But what can I do? Maybe that was Felix's reaction. I don't know. I don't know what sort of fear he had. Maybe he was worried about the coming judgment. I don't know. But dear friend, maybe that's your reaction tonight. But the sad thing is that didn't go any further with Felix. He was worried about it. Clearly worried. Filled with fear. There was a reaction with Felix. And yet didn't go any further. Because the next thing it says was, go for the present, and when I get an opportunity, I will send for thee. What a sad verse in Scripture that Felix didn't take. Probably the greatest opportunity that was ever presented to him. The gospel was presented in such a clear and clear-cut way by the Apostle Paul. God was presented by Paul in such an affectionate way, and Felix put it off. He didn't take his opportunity. Go for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will send for thee. It didn't suit him at the moment. Maybe he looked at the pros and cons and thought, well, you know, I'm in a pretty good position. I'm ruler of the Judea area. You know, I'm doing all right for myself. Dear friend, the Bible says, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? Dear friend, you might think, well, you know, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to give some of these things up. I'm going to have to give up watching some of these things. I'm going to have to give up listening to some of these things. I have to give up joining in with the jokes at school. What on balance, you know, look at, Felix would have looked at the pros and cons and thought, well, you know, I've got a lot to lose by becoming a Christian. Dear friend, you've got so much more to lose by not. It's not even comparable. There is no comparison between your soul and what you can gain in the world today. No comparison whatsoever. The world today, you know, what's the life expectancy? 80 years compared to an eternity, a godless eternity in God's condemnation in the place called hell. You know, that's not a comparison by any means. Dear friend, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? You'll enjoy life for in all the pleasures of sinful life for however many years, and then it ends. But dear friend, if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll enjoy life in such a greater way here, and then you'll have the literal enjoyment of everything that you've enjoyed here spiritually forever. What a thing to look forward to. What a thing you can come into now. You know, that's not even comparable. It's what the Americans might call a no-brainer, where you don't even have to. It's such a silly comparison to make that it's not even any point making the comparison at all. What a massive advantage we have by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ compared with what you are without him. You know, but Felix thought, on balance, perhaps I need to listen to it again. I'm going to put it off for a few more days until I've thought about it a bit more. I've, you know, weighed up whether I want to lose my position. And dear friend, what's it say? After 2 years were completed, Felix was relieved. You know, he spoke with Paul often. It says that. Wherefore he sent for him oftener and communed with him. You know, you've heard the gospel often. You've heard the gospel lots of times. And dear friend, maybe each time you've walked out those two white doors at the back and you've thought, well, maybe next week. And then next week, you thought, well, maybe next month. And then next month, you thought, well, maybe when I'm a bit older. And it's gone on and on and on and on. Dear friends, you cannot leave this room tonight again without making that decision. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Don't walk out those doors tonight without making sure that you have put your faith and trust in him. Don't be like Felix here, because one day, dear friends, the opportunity will be taken out of your hands. There is a finite amount of time where you can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a finite amount of time where that opportunity is being presented by God. God has set a day. God has a calendar. And God has set a day. He's set a day. He knew when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming down here. He knew when the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be put on the cross. He knew when the Lord Jesus Christ was going to be raised again. He knows when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to collect all those that are his. He knows everything about your life. He knows everything about my life. Dear friend, he knows when your last opportunity is going to be. And it could be that this day could be your last opportunity to take it. So dear friend, don't walk out that room. Don't walk out those doors. Don't walk out this room without making sure of your salvation. You know, I don't really have too much to say about it really. You know, the window of opportunity that God is presenting to you tonight is called now. It's now. Now is the well-accepted time of salvation. The urgent message of the gospel goes out week by week and you think that it's never going to happen, but one day it will. Don't let it catch you off guard. It's a slightly different context, but there's the parable of the virgins, not the ones that went to sleep and they didn't see the bridegroom returning. Dear friends, are you watching and waiting for the Lord Jesus? Or are you thinking, well, I've still got time. There's plenty of time. I'm only young. I'll do it when I'm older, when I've got less on my plate. Dear friends, the gospel needs to be, and the Lord Jesus needs to be the centre of your life here. Don't put it aside. Don't put it on your to-do list. You know, the gospel is for now. You must accept it now. You must respond to it. You will respond to it tonight, as I said. Dear friend, make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is your saviour before you walk out those doors tonight. So, you know, I don't really have too much to say about this. Felix was a man who heard the gospel from the Apostle Paul, as I said, probably one of the best preachers of the gospel that there was. God's message of salvation, and he put it off. The gospel is for now. Different. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm a Christian. But maybe over the last few years, over the last few months, my life's become a little bit off track. I've grown a little bit cold in my faith. Dear friend, if that's describing you, you know, now is the time to recommit your life to him as well. To surrender completely your life to him. To get back to the enjoyment that you had with him. To completely commit your whole life to him. That's for now as well. Don't put that off. Don't think, well, I know I'm saved, but there's a few other things I want to get done. Then I'm going to really get into this Christianity stuff. Don't do that. Do it now. You know, commit your life to him now. Paul spent, I don't know however many years of his life, going completely against the assembly. He persecuted the church in every way possible. And for the rest of his life, after he was saved, he was, if you like, making up for lost time. He put his absolutely everything into making sure that the testimony and the assembly was built up and edified. You know, perhaps on a smaller scale, but dear friend, tonight, maybe you can think, well, you know, I have wandered off a little bit. I'm not as quite so enthusiastic as I used to have been about the scriptures, about the Lord Jesus. Maybe I've grown a little bit cold in my faith. I'm talking to myself as well. Dear friend, now is your opportunity as well to recommit your life to him, to resurrender your life to him, to really go in for all these things that God is wanting to bless you with, so that you can come into all these blessings that we've been hearing about in the readings a couple of weeks ago. You know, going into the land, as it were, really enjoying the things of God. That's for now as well. So first and foremost, make sure before you go out these doors tonight that you are saved, that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And second, if you know you're saved, but you think, well, I have wandered away a little bit, now's your opportunity to put your faith back in the Lord Jesus, to really recommit yourself to it, making sure that for the rest of your time here that you're living for him as ambassadors, as we were hearing about yesterday, ambassadors down here for Christ. You know, it's for now. The gospel is for now. Not next week, but for now. So I pray that before we go out of this room tonight, that everybody will have, first and foremost, made that decision to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, taken that opportunity, and then, second of all, to recommit themselves if you think you've wandered off, to say, right, for the rest of my time down here, from now on, I'm going to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take that to myself as well. For his name's sake.